coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. You know, Newsweek came out, and I don't even know how to even describe this, except it's mind-bending. Newsweek came out and said, well, let me get this right now, hang on. Donald Trump might not have been shot after all. Excuse me? Yeah, okay. Jack Posobiec on Thursday had sent an X post, a Twitter post, whatever, saying, you know, holy moly, okay, about this. He may have been hit by shrapnel. Ray talked about that as well. I'm going to tell you something, all right? If you've ever been shot at or downrange from bullets, from a gun, okay, it doesn't matter if you get hit by shrapnel, if you get hit by the bullet, if you get hit by, you know, I'm going to tell you something, okay? Your life isn't, there it is right there. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Wow.
Always making me work.
What a guy. There it is right on your screen. Donald Trump may not have been hit by a bullet, FBI director says. But Newsweek, of course, Newsweek. So, again, these people have no shame. And then Wednesday we saw the Biden come out on camera. And was it really Biden? Was it really in the Oval Office? Okay. Because the next day, Joe Biden seemed to. Now, I don't know. I was trying to do the math on this. And, you know, I don't have a degree in math, but she arrived in Paris the following day. But if you do the flight time, I think it's an 8-hour flight. Do the math. And I just don't know how she got there at that time. If the Oval Office address was live. And I don't know. So here we are in 2024. It's still in July, and we have so many questions. And like I said yesterday, every answer that we get sparks new questions. And whether it is the shooting, whether it's the, I mean, you name it, the announcement by Biden not to seek re-election and that call to Kamala Harris. Look, we're all being punked, I believe. I believe we're being punked, and everything is in your face. Here to talk with me about this is a longtime friend, a man who is a man of many talents, okay? I've just got to say this, and a guy that I respect beyond belief. Folks, you heard him. He's more than a myth. You've heard him. You've heard of him. He's been on our show before, but not a while. And shame on me. But with that, I present to you Mr. Daniel Holdings, DanielHoldings.com, NotShaken.tv, and also Gen 6 Productions. But there he is. There's his website, DanielHoldings.com, NotShaken.tv. He's got a great podcast, and folks, make sure you tune into his broadcast. I'm telling you right now, it is what we need for these days. Daniel Holdings, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Well, thank you, Doug, but I told you off air that you never call, you don't write. I don't know. I fill out the same face, and you say I'm your friend, but I never hear from you. And the only reason I'm here is our good friend Steve Quayle is hating life right now because he's recovering from knee surgery.
You know,
I'm not laughing. Thanks. I'm not laughing.
No, you know, I've been getting demands. We demand proof of life from Steve Quayle.
Oh, you know, honest. I talked to him yesterday, and he's
how's he doing?
They say that knee surgery is the worst. I mean, it is the worst. It's the most painful. So he is hating life. I mean, he's got to get up and he's got to walk. He's got to, I feel for the guy. But
I got to tell you, Daniel, I talked to him, and you think, folks, you think he's cranky sometimes on air. What do you want? I'm kidding. Steve, I love you, brother. Absolutely. But how, you're doing well, I take it? You, your family, everyone's doing well?
I am doing well. I'm as busy as ever. You know, I got so many irons in the fire. I'm writing a couple of books right now for people. And, we're making a movie. And actually, we're almost done with the movie. It's still in production, though. Earth in the Crosshairs over Gen 6. That movie, we'll talk about that in just a minute, but it'll blow you away. I'm telling you, audience, it is crazy. Best movie we ever did, I think. And I'm not saying that because I wrote it. I'm saying it because it's Holy Spirit inspired. Because I'm not that smart.
And folks, I'm telling you what, it cannot be overstated, oversold. It's a fantastic production, Earth and the Crosshairs. We've talked about it. Steve and I have talked about it on this platform. So, but before we get down and dirty into that, let me ask you, and I'm going to try to be as articulate with this question as I can be. All right. I'm going to try to be as specific with this question as I can be. What in the hell is going on?
Well, Doug, you turn the news on, or you look at the news, alternative media, even alternative media, and it's just story after story after story, and it's really hard to discern what is the truth and what is not.
Yeah.
And the problem is that I think they're all lying. I'm not political, okay? I'm not a political guy. I used to be, but I was Republican at one time. But
American Indian or
something like that. Yeah, I'm okay. American Indian.
I'm sorry. I'm kidding.
I always say that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are two wings of the same bird. They're two sides of the same coin. So if your disposition is to believe one side over the other, I think you're missing what's really going on. Because I think even Donald Trump, I know he's popular. You know, I've said certainly he was better than Hillary. He's better than Joe Biden. He's better than Harris. But at the same time, I don't believe anything coming out of the political wheel in America, because I think it's been taken over by the globalists.
You think? Yeah. Now, that brings and who are the globalists? I say that because I see a lot of blame being cast it hurts me to even say this. I cannot go to a website. I can't go to even the own or the comments on my own on our videos. It's the Jews. Okay, the Jews are the globalists. Okay, folks, stop. Just stop about that. Because that's like saying it's the Americans or it's the Christians or to me. To your point, I do believe that we are seeing a globalist takeover of everything, and they're rubbing it in our faces. I don't know what to believe anymore, even when I watch something like the address of Biden. Was that real? Was that live, or was that Memorex? Was that Biden? Was that really Biden? I mean, seriously, is Biden dead? Is Biden alive?
It's the guy from Weekend at Bernie's. That guy. It's that guy.
I think that's
who it is.
You know, and he's the only person I know who can go on TV. Steve Quayle gets more scrutiny than this. He goes on TV, national TV, and he's got a bruise on his obvious bruise on his chin, certainly on his eye. Maybe a little bit on his forehead, and no one asks any questions. And plus, he's got fatter fingers, which, okay, maybe, I don't know, maybe it would, who knows? But no one asks any questions, and people just say, oh, okay. But anyway, I don't want to take time from you. I mean, just, you know.
Well, to your point, I was talking. I told you off the air that I was talking to a buddy of mine a couple weeks ago, and he said, Daniel, I figured something out. I said, well, what's that? He said, it's the ears. The ears don't lie. Okay, the ears don't lie. What are you talking about? He said, if you look at Biden's ears, and he did a close up, he brought up his phone and he blew up the pictures. He said, there are like three different sets of ears here. So it's not all Biden. And I was like, well, yeah. Duh. So last night, was that Biden? Was it not? The interesting thing is Hal Turner came out with an article today, and he said something to the effect of the time on Biden's wristwatch was actually an hour earlier than supposedly the live stream, the live broadcast.
Yeah.
So obviously, and they can't trust him to say anything, especially if it is real Biden, they can't trust him to say anything. But if it's an actor, they can't trust him. So I don't, folks, I think that he's dead. And I think he might have been dead for a while. I think he might have been gone for a while, and they've just been covering all this up. There's a report that came out. It was probably, the weekend before Biden supposedly dropped out of the race. Loud shouting was supposedly heard in the halls of the White House. And obviously, it's not Biden because Biden's in bed by 11, according to reports. And I'll talk about that in a second. But
Now, I didn't hear about this. So,
yeah, there are people shouting. Back and forth. So, wow. Okay, was it Jill? Was it Kamala? Shouting back and forth, the boisterous, that kind of thing. And then I think it was the next day that Biden came out and he said, well, if my doctor says that I have a condition or something happens, then I might be willing to step out of the race. And then he gets COVID, right? And then so the rest of this happens. It's all scripted. And that's what I mean. You can't believe what we're seeing, not in the news, not, anything that they're saying. It's all smoke and mirrors. And that really bothers me. Because this is a dangerous time, Doug. Really, really dangerous.
Week we saw the incursion of two fighter jets from Russia and China near Alaska, almost baiting the U.S., or at least letting us know they're around. Covered that last episode. So we're facing dangers from within and from without. We don't know really who's in charge, who's running things. It's a sad state, I think, when you have to question, is it real or is it fake? Even when you're watching it, do we know if this is real? So it's a sad commentary on where we are today as a nation, as a people, and the spiritual discernment, which you've got to use, folks. I am I cannot stress that enough. We have to be spiritually in tune and use our discernment. Go ahead, sir.
Well, let's talk. I was on with Mike Adams in the week.
Go ahead.
and he asked me, he said, Daniel, because we talked about all kinds of things extensively. We talked about what happened with Trump. We talked about Biden. We talked about, all that, the crowd strike. And I want to talk about that as well. But the CrowdStrike fiasco that happened.
Yes.
So he asked me, he said, Dan, because all this news is swirling around. I mean, it's like going crazy. And it's even hard for guys like us to keep up with it. It's like, wow, we're supposed to talk about the news, and there's so much piling up. But he asked me, he said, Daniel, what do you think is the next thing that's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen now? And I said, Mike, and I'll tell you the same thing, Doug. We see all of the chaos in the White House. We see the uncertainty in our own country. We see the wheels coming off of the world's economies. If you were our enemies, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, whatever, if you were our enemies, would you strike before the election or after the election? Especially if Donald Trump will get in the office, would you strike before or after? He said, well, I would do it sooner rather than later. Exactly And then you have that incursion. And by the way, folks, that has never happened. I was an Air Force guy, right? I keep track of such things. You have never seen Russian and Chinese fighter bombers encroach upon the airspace of the United States at the same time. It has never happened. It is clearly a signal. What is the signal? The signal is we're coming for you.
Mm. I'm pondering that. That was a that's pretty heavy to think about when you're looking at two world superpowers with hypersonic missile capability, letting us know they're there and we are vulnerable. So as a people, we should be outraged at the government that. But then again, we apparently we get the government we work for, earn, and deserve, don't we? I mean, I guess. But there it is, folks, on your screen for those watching this. NORAD intercepts Russian and Chinese bombers operating together near Alaska in apparent first time, unprecedented. So yes. And of course, we've never been so divided, Daniel. Ever. I don't.
You know, it doesn't really matter who gets elected in November. Honestly, Doug, I think we are going to see a civil war. I think the country's going to tear itself apart. And I hate to sound like a pessimist because I'm really not. You know, the Bible says something like, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I really try to rest in his joy and his peace. And so that's why I might act jovial, but the situation is so serious. It's so dire right now. Come November, doesn't matter who wins. I think we will self-implode. But if we get to November, I mean, I've said for a long time, Steve and I talked about this infinitum. I don't know that there's going to be an election in November because of this situation with the Russian and Chinese and the Iranians. I think the situation is so serious that we may not even have an election. But, if we did, now think about this for a second. If we did and civil war broke out, then that would give the Democrats the ability to declare martial law. And they could say, no, there's not going to be a transfer of power.
What Zelensky did, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It could be just like that. So, folks, you know, it is a dangerous time in America, but it's a dangerous time in the world. What was it? Excuse me. A week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, the Japanese yen was crashing. So the Japanese government sold off a bunch of treasuries, American treasuries, U.S. treasuries, to bolster the currency because it was crashing. And that doesn't bode well for the United States because obviously nobody wants our debt now anyway. So who did they sell it to? It's probably the Fed. And the Fed bought it back, probably at a discounted price. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because shortly after that, that guy, Eric, is on the ball. Look at that. He didn't know I was going to say that. But shortly after that, the Germans said that they were going to cut their not donations, but their payments to the Ukraine by half. Now, I think it's ridiculous how countries are just filling that country up with money and for what? It's ridiculous. But the fact is that they were going to, and they're dedicated to supporting the Ukraine. Now, why would they do such a thing? Well, because the German economy is suffering as well. Terribly suffering, and you're not hearing that kind of thing on the news. Now, I bring this up, and you know, they have like, you know, banks like Deutsche Bank, which is like the second or third largest bank of the world, are holding so much derivative debt. I mean, they're about ready to self implode. So you have, you know, Germany cutting back. You have Japan cutting back. The funny thing is, Doug, see, this is what I mean about it all happening at the same time. The funny thing is, David Wilkerson, Pastor David Wilkerson, had a vision in 1971. I talk about this often. And he saw all kinds of stuff. What he saw is are actually happening now. But he saw, as far as the world's economies go, he saw Germany's economy collapse, and then Japan's economy collapse right after, and then 2 weeks after that, the United States economy collapse. And lo and behold, we're seeing these moves in the background. Now, what's crazy is that there are like three or four banks in the United States, there was an article that came out today, that are $4 trillion in bad debt. They have $4 trillion in bad debt on their books, and they're staggering underneath that. And if it's $4 trillion, you know it's probably at least double, if not triple, what they're telling you. My point is, things on the world's economies are really, really dire right now. And people aren't paying attention to such things because of all the drama in the White House or the other stuff that's going on in the world. But this is what I mean about, we are in a really dangerous time. When we look at, to Mike Adams' question, when we look at what comes next, folks, I don't know exactly because I'm not reading crystal ball, but none of it is good. None of it is, and I'm not laughing because I'm happy about it. I'm laughing because if I wasn't laughing, I'd be crying. Things are so dire right now, Doug.
They are, and that's on every real media platform I turn to. That's kind of the number one question that's always asked. What's going to happen next? And I'll tell you, the possibilities are out there. And like you said, none good. I do suspect that we are going to see some level, and this is just my view based on my analysis of current events, something happened internally. Really bad, really big, and nation changing. Worse than 9/11. Maybe a terrorist attack, maybe a nuke or something. I do believe that the economy is going to implode because it's unsustainable. I also believe that they're still going to go out, even though you're not political, Donald Trump being the America First in name, in platform, the America First candidate, the globalists don't like him, so they're going to try again to take him out. I believe that. They're going to try to jail more MAGA or America First supporters, populists, or nationalists, I'm sorry. I think all of these are possibilities. And I think at the weakest moment, rather than getting help, I think that we're going to be invaded. And I think you and I spoke previously, too, about the invasion from the South. You've got the numbers vary, but I believe over 20 million invaders already in this country. Thank you to the globalist agenda. So, plus the hobbling regulations. So all of these things are really leading us to an inflection point in time. That's kind of where I see things. And whether we have an election in November or not, we've never not had an election. But we've never experienced what we've experienced over the last 5 years or last couple of years anyway, in the way we have. So there's that, and with the AI and with the, you can't even trust what you see, I don't know. So I'll stop talking. Because
you just hit on something. I need to talk a little bit about this. I have had four or five prophetic dreams over my life. And it's funny because it's scary, actually, because they come true. And not exactly the way they did, but let me give you an example. I was I had this dream about I was like flittering around a couch, and I had a friend that I was visiting, and he said, I have to go to my desk. And he as he's a roll top desk, and I could see his eyes peeking through the crack between the banker's lamp and the top of the desk. And he says, I'll be right with you. Well, in my dream, he was sitting on the couch. And I was trying to tell him something. I was trying to tell him to stop what he was doing and to repent, because he was going to hurt himself, his family, and a lot of people. So long story short, that guy was actually my pastor from a church in California that I went to decades ago, actually. And so I found myself in his office one day, and it was my dream. The same setup. It was freaky. I was like, wait, you know how when you have deja vu, it's like, this was worse than deja vu, because it was the same exact setup. And he goes, hey, hold on a second, I gotta do something at my desk. So he goes over his desk. I'm like, you know, because you get deja vu, you kind of go, well, that's weird. But then he says, I gotta go to my desk and finish something real quick. So he goes to his desk. It's a roll top desk. I see his glasses, because in my dream I only saw his glasses glinting. He had like brass steel rimmed glasses. And I realized right then, bam, that's my dream. So then he comes over and he says, he says, okay, and we start talking. I said, I won't give you his name, but I said, you know, I said, you're going to think I'm crazy. I said, but I saw this in a dream, and it was from the Lord. And the Lord wants you to know, he's my pastor. I mean, how do you tell your pastors, whatever you're doing, you need to stop. You need to repent. You're going to hurt yourself, your family, and a lot of people. And it turned out, he said, I don't know what to say to that. I don't know what it is, but thank you for sharing and blah, blah. Okay, so I leave there. I feel like an idiot, right? Like 2 months later, he gets caught embezzling money from the church. He got, brought up on charges. He got fired. He lost his wife, their house, and all this other stuff. That's what I mean about sometimes. Wow. I get these dreams that are real, right? And I have to, I know them. When it happens, I know that they're real. It's just not a dream. Well, to speak to the issue that you just said, about the invaders from the South, about a month and a half ago. In fact, it was the very first broadcast that I did on Not Shaking, my podcast. And I wasn't going to do Not Shaking because I got a lot on my plate right now, and I wasn't going to do it yet. I wanted to do a podcast on my own, but I was doing Q-Files for a long time.
By the way, I was both surprised and pleased that you are doing it. NotShaken.tv, folks. Make sure you plug into that. Daniel Holdings is a master of all of that. There it is on your screen. If you're watching this via Rumble or right down there, it is. Otherwise, and by the way, folks, do subscribe to Rumble, Brighteon, whatever, and follow us on those platforms. As well as, again, make sure you tune into and grab a hold of and be part of NotShaken.tv, Daniel Holdings. Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to. I just want to make sure that got enough.
I did not pay the man to say that stuff.
No,
by the way, just so you know.
Thank
you for that.
But I can look. I can tell when some. I can tell when somebody is plugged. I mean, you talk to somebody and you know they're both gifted as well as obedient, godly obedient, and that's you, and you're listening.
Thank you.
And that's important to me because, again, like I said earlier, you don't know what's real. I can listen to you and I know what's, I know you're real. I know the information you provide is real and it's so important. So again, notshaken.tv, folks, make sure you bookmark that and, just do it. Just do it. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Holdings. I'm sorry.
I told Steve, I said, Steve, I need to step away. I got so much going on. I need to step away, to do my own thing eventually. But, I can't do Q-Files. And he was very understanding. And, the Lord worked and all that. I mean, you got Pastor Faircloth, you got Pastor Sosa on Q-Files. So, I mean, they're covered. Y'all don't need to hear from me on Q-Files. But my point is I didn't intend on starting a podcast right away because we're doing a movie and I'm doing books and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I got a lot of stuff going. And then I had that dream. I had this dream, a godly dream. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't scare easy. Part of, living this life that I lead, the walk that I have, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and resting in the peace of Jesus that surpasses all understanding. I don't get scared really bad. I talk about serious things all the time, and I don't really tremble. I had this dream, and I was literally shaking. And I'm just going to say, if you go to my website, danielholdings.com, the dream is on the bottom. You can actually listen to it for yourself. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing and listen to it and tell you about it. But I literally saw invaders coming up from the south. They subvertly came in it was in California that I saw this, and they started killing people. There you go, Barrick. Thank you. And they started killing people. So if you haven't heard that dream, you need to hear it. And that I didn't charge for that. That's, you know, you can go there for just to listen. My point is this, that I think that we are on the precipice of that invasion. I woke up, I was shaking, and it was so scary. The first thing I did, I woke up early, like 5 o'clock or something. The first thing I did is I called my friend Steve. I didn't call him. I wrote him because he's 2 hours behind me. I said, Steve, when you wake up, call me. And so
5 seconds later, the phone rings, right?
Well, no, he didn't. It was like 2 hours later because he's like 2 hours behind me.
I know, but sometimes, 5 o'clock in the morning. Wow, he's up
he
all
never
the time.
Sleeps. So yeah, I know. You're right. He's never sleeps. But he would tell a story later. He said, I saw this message from Daniel, and that's never happened. He's never said, call me right away. So I knew it was serious. So then I start relating this dream to him. And he said, man, he said, you know, I had an open vision two nights ago. He said, I saw like a Learjet flying off toward the east, and all of a sudden a nuclear explosion took it out. It took it out. I said, wow. He said, and did you see Pastor's Faircloth's discussion? His podcast or his his sermon yesterday. I said, no, Steve, I haven't been watching anything. I don't have time to breathe, much less or eat, much less watch something on video. He said, no. He said, you don't need to watch the whole thing. Just watch the beginning of it. And Benjamin Faircloth said the same thing, that you know, this outbreak of hostilities within the U.S. was about to happen, something like that. And then 2 hours later, a mutual friend of ours contacted Steve, and he said he had a dream, and he saw Air Force One taken out by, or the Doomsday plane, I don't remember which, taken out by a nuclear explosion. So that was a fourfold witness to the dream that I had. And this is what I mean, Hines. When you have a dream like that, and God gets a hold of you, and you know it's him. It's not. I'm not. You know, it's not like, okay, it's last night's pizza. No, this was serious stuff. So I said all that to say this, Doug. What's going to happen next? I don't know exactly, but I would think that is about to happen. And I think that all of this happens simultaneously, actually. You know, when we look at prophecy, this funny thing. I got saved like, I don't know, 42, 43 years ago, something like that. And I was in the Air Force at the time, and I got a hold of the book by Hal Lindsey, Late Great Planet Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't really churched back then, but I thought it was science fiction. That's why I started reading. And lo and behold, it was about the Bible, stuff I'd never heard before. But one of the things about what people that write about eschatology do is that they say this happens, then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. It's all linear. Bam, 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 bam. And I've said for a long time, as well as Steve has, that things are stacked up. They're stacked up like this, and all of a sudden they go boom, just like that. Well, I think that's what we're about to see. So when we talk about the next thing that's going to happen, we should be talking about the next things that are going to happen. Because I think you will see the and in fact, when I wrote my books, the early trilogy years ago that I wrote is techno fiction, and some of that had to do with end time stuff. And I
By
said
the way,
pretty
I,
much
I, this, I love those books, folks. In addition to everything else, Daniel Holdings is one of the most talented authors out there. And I'm not blowing smoke up his butt, But I do. In fact, I can see them in my line of sight on the bookshelf in the studio. And I appreciate that. But are, they're still available, right?
Sure, yeah. Now you can get them at my website. Okay. And by the way, the check's in the mail, Doug. I'll send you that.
I appreciate that. Money, yeah. So. Yeah. Just like a stamp, put it on a gold bar and send it. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the thing is, the Lord showed me a lot of stuff. And the stuff they showed me when I wrote those books was really hard. It was hard things. They were hard things, scary things. Mm. And I'm like, Lord, you know, people aren't going to want to read this stuff. You know, he said, well, put it in a fictional form. So that's what I did. In fact, Doug, I think it was you that coined it faction.
Yeah.
And there's things out of those books that have come true. I mean, the first book was about the Large Hadron Collider. And in there, I said that they would discover the God particle, and they discovered the God particle. The second book, it has a character in it named Steve Whale. That's how I met Steve when he agreed to be interviewed for that character in the book. But the second book talked about an organization that rose up out of the Middle East. They were bloodthirsty and they wanted to declare a caliphate. And it had four letters. I don't even remember what the four letters were now, but it was ISIS, and it was 2 years before there was any ISIS. My point is that things out of those books have come true. But my larger point is this: when I wrote those books, God showed me many of the things that were going to happen at the end of the age, and they are happening now. And he showed me that they were all going to happen all at the same time. That's my point. They are not linear like you know, people have talked about and wrote about for years. They are stacked up like this, and they're happening all at the same time. So when we think about the next thing that's going to happen, the next piece of craziness that's going to happen, it's not one thing that's going to happen, Doug. It is they are things. And I think we're looking at, you know, World War III. I think we're looking at the crash of the global economy. Just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think it was BRICS decided to put together a parliament and a leadership so that they could assist in the dollar's demise as the world's reserve currency. I mean, you have that. And when that happens, we're done. I'm just saying we're done. I mean, it's going to be ugly.
Well, think about, too, what you've written, what you've talked about last month, the Saudi Arabia getting off the petrodollar, you know. So we're not that far from the very things you're talking about in the economic sphere of things. So continue, sir.
Well, okay, so it's not just that. Then you're looking at our domestic issues,
yep.
Right? Is there going to be martial law? I don't know. Lord showed me martial law when I wrote those books. So, yeah, I think there's going to be martial law. And I think it's going to be at the same time. Are we going to be invaded from people from the South? Yes, we're going to be invaded. I think that's going to happen at the same time. You said it yourself, Doug. There are millions of foreign agents that are now in this country, terrorist cells. And now, you know, we have news that actually confirms this. We have the FBI saying such things. We have, you know, Border Patrol saying such things. Not that they care because they keep letting people in. But these people are dangerous. They're cartels. They're terrorists. You know, are we going to have biological weapons used against the American people? Absolutely. All of that stuff is happening at the same time, and we are just on the very precipice of it. So when I'm asked that question, what's going to happen next? It's like all of it. Yeah, it's not.
Good answer.
Again, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I am a realist, right? For years, people have operated on normalcy bias, right? Things are going to be okay because they have always been okay. You've heard this. You're an investigative reporter. You've seen this happen all the time. No, that can't happen. There can't be a murder in this town because there's never been a murder in this town, or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
No. That's called normalcy bias, and whatever can happen will happen. And that is what we are seeing right now. We're seeing all of that unfold right before our eyes.
Do you think people do you think people in general are beginning to wake up, or do you think? I know this question is very academic, very basic, but are people awakening to? Or are they saying, because I've heard people say this, man, things aren't right, you know. And then on the flip side, you have people saying, well, you know, things are going to work out after the election, or there's just a variety of answers. But my question to you, are people awakening to the fact that we've been hoodwinked for so long? I mean, thoughts?
Well, I always go back to what our friend Steve says, you know, and I quote, I steal it often. He says, there is no political solution for a country that has a spiritual problem. I think people are realizing that something in America is not right. And part of that is spiritual. And I think people will recognize that people are walking away from the church. They're walking away from God like never before. And I think what it does is it hollows us out. It makes us soulless as a country. I mean, for years, for as long as the country's been around, you know, God we trust was our motto. And it's not so much that anymore. But part of me wants to believe, I don't know if it's true or not, but part of me wants to believe that people are just sick of the lies. You know, it's funny because back the first, and you'll remember this, I think, when Obama first got into office, one of the first executive orders that he signed said that they could actually use, the government could actually use propaganda on its citizens, right? That they could use propaganda.
Yes.
And I was like, why? Why? The purpose of the government was to tell the truth. So I think people are waking up to the fact that the government lies to us. But does it make a difference in how they live their lives? No. No, because if you're a Democrat, you know, you're going to vote for Kamala Harris or whoever is you know, gets the nomination. If you're a Republican, you vote for Donald Trump. So we may have an inkling that there is something wrong, or you could vote for RFK Jr. and Bobby Jr. and throw away your vote because I don't think you'd get it.
Boy, don't you? Yeah. I think back to previous elections and certain things that were done. For not being political, you're being political, it's difficult to separate current events from politics from spiritual issues because I believe they're all intertwined. Okay, I mean, Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture, and we're seeing culture rot, and you're seeing that rot transfer into politics. Politics is a part of our everyday life. I don't want to go off on a
tangent. That's a great title, politics rot. I like that. I'm going to use that. Yeah. I'll give you credit, but I'll probably steal it. Politics
rot. Yours, bud.
Well, you know, but I think your point is well taken. It's hard to separate politics from culture. And when you see the degradation of our culture, you see the degradation of politics as well. And it's descending into this madness, really. I mean, madness. I remember I got in the Air Force. I was 17, I think, at the time. 1979, when the Iranian hostage crisis happened. And I remember watching Ted Koppel. He would do America Held Hostage.
Yep.
Day 300 and something, right? And I remember being so upset. I was so mad. Jimmy Carter, the clown, was in the office. And I was political back then. But I thought, you know, I'm going to do something. I'm going to join the military. So I did. That's when I joined. And what happened just before I joined, though, is that Ronald Reagan got in the office and he said, you better give us our people back or we're coming after you. That's what he told them. And sure enough, you know, they gave us our people back. But I think it was Ahmadinejad that was actually, they got pictures of him, and he became the president of Iran. So it's not like the Iranians changed their tune at all. They just, you know, they became a terror state. But anyway.
And remember Desert One, too. Desert One, the failed rescue mission. And by the way, maybe Jimmy Carter is going to outlive Joe Biden. Just saying.
Yeah, right. He's supposed to be in hospice. That guy won't kick off for nothing.
My wife's got a cat like that. Sorry about that. But again, you look at the current events, and we have to question whether the real Joe Biden is still with us or not. You know, and he might, if he is, he might outlast, or Jimmy Carter might outlast him. When you're at this point that you question everything, and as I said before, with the culture rot, with the infusion of the trans agenda and this assault on the nuclear family, the biblical family, the assault on everything good that God has made for us, but it's an assault by the demonic forces. You know that we're just asking for trouble, and we are about to receive it. Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up. Well, I started to say the reason I told that story is because I remember I didn't vote for Reagan that year. I voted for Ross Perot because I was looking for an alternative. It was a throwaway vote. That's what I meant by mentioning Bobby Kennedy Jr. I don't think he can win because I think it's all controlled anyway, but I don't think he can win anyway. But the point is that, you know, wherever we go in November, it's not going to be a solution to where we are right now. My other point is this, that you just hit on something that what is occurring in our country and in the world is demonic. Now, I want to turn the corner here and talk a little bit about our new film, Earth in the Crosshairs.
Oh, please do.
The gates of hell have opened. Folks, in that film, we make a case that the literal, you need to hear what I'm saying, the literal gates of hell are open. They take on the form of stargates, portals, and wormholes, because that's primarily what the film is about, stargates, portals, and wormholes. But we show in that film how all of that actually affect what's going on in the world today. When you consider the chaos in the world today and the way that we are seeing society fall apart, not just our society, but societies across the world, it is demonic. They have to get here some way, and it is through gates, portals, and stargates. Now, this film is unlike any film that we've ever done before. We have Dr. Travis Taylor in the film. He is an astrophysicist, double PhD, who's on that show, History Channel show, Skinwalker Ranch. I mean, the guy is brilliant. He's not necessarily a believer, but he's talking about a portal that they have discovered over Skinwalker Ranch. And he's the first human being, the only human being, to ever scientifically document such an occurrence, such a phenomenon. Along with him, we have William Henry, who is a mythologist and theorist, again, not a Christian, who's talking about how the Egyptians believed in Stargate technology. We have Cliff Mahoney, the late Cliff Mahoney, who was a tribal elder in the Four Corners area. He's passed away now, but the guy was a wealth of information about Stargates. Marcellus Medias, who's like, I guess we call him the governor of the Pueblo people. But my point is that this film is unlike anything we've ever done. We have talent and brains in this film that there's nothing like this film. It's mind-boggling. And I'm not saying just because I wrote it. I'm just saying because it is mind-boggling. The film blows my mind, and I wrote it. That's how amazing it is. So if we're taking pre-orders, it's almost out. If you don't order it before the first, I don't think you get a discount. So if you're going to order, you need to order it now for a discount. But It is just about done, and it is mind-blowing. I got to tell you, Doug, I have never seen anything like it. And we've done some good work over there at Gen 6. You know, we put out Mega Drought, The Wise Men and Gods, you know, the Mexico Expedition. But this film is mind-blowing.
Where do people go and get this? Gen6.com?
Gen6.com, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And if you go to my website, there's a link to Gen 6 or a link to the trailer. But just take a look at the trailer. I mean, it'll blow your mind. The trailer is even good. So, but it's really good. You should take a look.
Yeah, and for longtime listeners and viewers, Steve has talked about this. We've talked about this on there. In fact, we played the trailer. And it's a fabulous, the production quality alone, it blew my mind. And of course your writing, Daniel, is fabulous, but the content is disturbing. It's insightful, but disturbing, but it does to me, tend to answer certain questions about really what is taking place in the spiritual, because everything to me, everything is a manifest. Everything on that we're seeing right now is a manifestation from the spiritual. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And the problem is that people, when we look at the supernatural, right? We want to divide this. This is how humans work, and I understand it because I do the same thing. We try to pigeonhole our understanding. This fits here. This fits here. This fits here.
Yep.
So when we say that, you know, everything is connected to the spiritual, we think Bible, we think, you know, supernatural. But when you talk about the forces that are invading the earth right now, and it is, folks, understand, it is an invasion. They are fallen angels and demons, but fallen angels for the most part. So when you see fallen angels masquerading as aliens, right? Because that's an interesting thing, Doug. When you look back at history, when you look back to Mesopotamia and the art, the statues that are found, those tall giants had wings, right?
Yeah.
So they're fallen angels, and then you see the kind of things that are going on right now, and people need to classify them in some way, so they call them aliens, right? So they're aliens. But folks, this is supernatural. This is a supernatural invasion. And what bothers me, Doug, is that people are beginning to accept this narrative, right? Because this is what's going to happen. People are accepting the narrative. I remember probably about, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, we had some, I was still living in California. We had some friends that came in from Michigan. They were visiting California. We all went to the beach, their family, our family. So I'm sitting there talking to my wife and the guy's wife. And I said something about UFOs. She looked at me and she said, "Well, I don't believe in UFOs." I said, "Why?" She said, "I've never seen one." "You ever seen $1 million? Believe in $1 million. But that attitude is changed. You know, one of the things that, getting back to the film, one of the things that Dr. Kravitz Taylor did, he was the lead scientist for the Pentagon's UAP program. So that's what I mean. This guy's a heavyweight. I mean, he's huge. So, but the idea is that this, you know, we had in the last two or three years, we've had a couple different hearings with, the Pentagon and in Congress. They're not telling us anything, obviously, because I think they already have the UFOs and captured technology, re-engineering it. But the point is that you have this acceptance over the earth of more people believe in UFOs in England than they do in God. That's crazy to me.
That, okay.
But I'm going to tell you, they're going to show up here in the near future, honestly, via stargates, wormholes, and portals, and they are going to say, "Hey, we created you. We're your creators." So in other words, we're your gods. And then whole swaths of humanity, you think that the church is emptying out now? That there's a big number of people walking away from God now? When that happens, it's going to be huge. I mean, they are going to walk away in droves. We created.
But wouldn't the average person, I don't like that phrase. But wouldn't the most people say, well, okay, who created you then, or who's your creator? Wouldn't that?
Well, that's the next logical question. But yeah. I don't think people be so enamored with the idea that they created us that they won't even ask that question. But, look, Doug, I mean, people. You mentioned AI, and I've talked a lot about AI over the years, the last couple of years. There are AI churches. There's an AI Jesus that people talk to. Think about that for a second.
Wait. Yeah, hold up a minute here. This is the first time I'm hearing about this. Huh?
It's kind of thing I talk about on my podcast. Well, hey, there's pastors that will use AI, ChatGPT, in order to create their sermons. There's people that will go to a church that is, you know, solely AI. There's an AI Jesus that will talk to people online. I don't know where he is right now, but okay, so none of that is real. It's AI. It's right. A computer algorithm, but yet people accept it as if it's real but look, Doug, we live in an age.
Wait a second, folks, let me tell you something. Okay, that was kind of what do they call that? Anyway, this is why not shaken.tv is so important. The Daniel Holdings podcast. Okay, you got to understand this. I was the straight man. Okay, I guess approach to this. Look. This is going to happen, and folks, don't be deceived by this. Daniel Holdings is absolutely correct. So please, that should sell. That alone should sell, not shaken.tv. So the podcast, the broadcast by Daniel Holdings. I just want to make sure people understood that you talk about these issues, you address these issues, and it should come as no surprise to anyone about the AI aspect of things. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, the other thing that strikes me is that people, they will accept whatever is in vogue. They will accept whatever is new. And if you don't believe me, audience, you know, look at the transgender movement right now. You can stand up and call yourself a woman. If you're 6'5" and you want to join a swim team, you call yourself a woman and join the swim team. But you have a large portion of the population, particularly the young population, that have bought into this lie that, you know, transgenderism is real, that they, you know, they can be whatever they want to be, or that they can call themselves a furry or whatever, because there are people gone that identify as cats or animals or what. It's crazy. So my point is it a far stretch to think that when the aliens show up and say that we created you, that people won't believe them? They will believe whatever they want to believe. It doesn't have to be the truth. Speaking of that, I saw a video the other day when Joe Biden, I don't know why you would post this, but it was on TikTok. It was in a news article that I happened to be reading, but there's a guy who's recording himself on TikTok, and he's a transgender, obviously. He's got makeup on, but he's got a beard. He's got nail polish on. And he's reading his phone. Exactly. He's reading his phone. He stepped out. He starts hitting himself. He's going like this. Yeah. He was for transgenders. It's like little men in white coats and, you know, straight jackets are going to come get you. But my point is that people will believe whatever they want to believe. It doesn't have to be based in the truth. In fact, the Bible says, this is what I love about the Bible. I mean, we look at the Bible and we think about it in religious terms, but it's right. That's the thing. It's like, it's truth. It says that at the end of the age, they will trade the truth for a lie. They will trade the truth for a lie. Look at our society, Doug. That's exactly what has happened right now. Our society would rather be lied to and will accept the lie than you tell them the truth. If you tell them that Donald Trump, and again, I'm not a Trumpster, right? I'm just saying, if you told them that Donald Trump is a better candidate would make a better president than Joe, well, because he's dead. They don't even want to hear it. I saw a thing, an article the other day, yesterday, that talked about all the things that Kamala Harris believes in. It's really bad. I mean, if we thought Joe Biden was bad, she's 10 times worse.
Breitbart as well. I think Zero Hedge, but Breitbart had a list of 17 key points. I mean, she equates Border Patrol with the KKK, wants to abolish ICE. I mean, she is to the left, I believe, of Stalin in terms of her political ideology. So, yeah, you thought it was bad before? Oh, you just wait. Any blue-haired or purple-haired people that vote on Election Day, you know, if we have a free and fair election, which is doubtful, yeah, you just wait. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, she I saw another article. Steve, because Steve's out right now, I'm posting for him on his website. But,
oh, wow.
So this is like I get all these articles I'm reading. Some of them, you know, I will dive deeply into to you know, find out what's going on behind it. But one of the articles that I found was an article from Skywatch TV, Tom Horn's old network there. They posted it in 2020 about Kamala Harris, Joe Biden's running mate, when I guess he stole the election. But it said that her name, and I didn't realize this, is it struck me, one of her names, or one of her name represents, it's translated, the destroyer of worlds. The destroyer of worlds. And one of them is another translation is the pagan god or something like that. My point is that, folks, this should be a huge flag for us. We should see this threat for what it is. But the problem is, and I go back to what I say, right? People, more 50% of the country hate Donald Trump, right? It doesn't matter what the facts are. Because they hate Donald Trump. They came out with a poll yesterday, or maybe it was today, that said Harris opens up a 20-point lead against Trump.
Yeah.
Really? The most popular, unpopular vice president ever? Ever? So now she has a 20-point lead over a guy that's had at least 50% of the population rooting for him? That's crazy. So they're going to believe whatever they want so long as they get their way. You know, somebody that's going to support my LGBTQ view. You know, somebody that's going to shower me with money. Somebody that's going to, you know, give me a house or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. They will believe the lie, and that's the scary part. That people are willing to believe the lie over the truth. But that's where we are.
They want to believe the lie, and that's so people believing the lie. I can almost forgive, okay, because of the lies are so pervasive, but people who want to believe the lie because it suits their desire for their earthly desires, so to speak, that to me is not forgivable. When I say not forgivable, that's a different caliber of deception to me. So the reason I said that is because, like you mentioned, you know, the polls are out. Oh, Harris is up 20 points. Oh, it's going to be look, I don't believe it's good. As Bongino says, no red wave talk. I get that, because there shouldn't be. Because really, and this goes back to your earlier points, half the population, it seems, are America First or Make America Great Again people. And the other half, almost divided evenly, as far as I can tell, the other half are leftist ideologues with actually a communist ideology. Because why? Because it's easier and to them. But it's a big lie. It's a huge lie. And they're believing that lie. So the reason I said all that was I don't know why I said all that, except just...
Your age is showing, Doug.
I don't know. No, in all seriousness, what you were saying about people, you know, believing things like the Harris up in the polls and stuff. Yet we see on TV the turnout for different events. And to me, that tells people, hey, don't believe your eyes, believe us. And that's kind of the important point here I was trying to make. But go ahead, sir.
I took the time to do something a while back. I took the poster for Weekend at Bernie's, and I put Biden's head on it, and I posted it on Facebook. Weekend at Biden's White House.
How long did that stay up, by the way?
I don't even know if it's still there. I don't go to Facebook, but I couldn't help it. Something was happening. They were having an event at the White House. I'm like, does anybody really believe that he's doing what he's doing?
Oh, man.
I do something. But anyway.
Again, it's people believing the lie. It's, hey, the economy's never been better. Yet, you know, they're crying when they go to the grocery store. I filled up my gas tank the other day, and it's like, okay, where am I going to – do I need a second mortgage? I mean, seriously. The studio power bill came, and I'm thinking, my goodness, you know, two, three, four years ago, it wasn't even – I mean, it was close to three times what it was.
And yet a report came out today, just today. It said inflation is down by 4%.
Yeah.
You believe that, right?
Oh, I believe. Yeah. Cause you know why I want to,
crazy.
I want to believe it. But yeah. And that's what I was talking about earlier. I don't believe we saw during the COVID crisis, if that's what you want to call it, you know, six circles in this parking lot, with people. And Biden talking, and we saw the crowds with President Trump, and of course he lost 81 million votes. My ass, sorry for the language, but you know, again, people want to believe this, and I think too, it's the separation from God. God's going to wash my mouth out with soap, but it's the separation from God that allows this to take place, I believe.
Well, look, if you're not cussing mad at what's going on, well, then you're living under a rock. I can't help it.
No,
you know, it's like, say something bad. Because it's, how stupid do they think we are? Pretty stupid.
Well, you know, again, it's that... I believe in discernment. I believe discernment. We need discernment. We need to exercise discernment, that is, and use what we have. But we cannot, I really believe we cannot allow us to fall for the tricks that they're playing. When I say they, I'm talking about the globalists. I'm talking about the real leaders, the people behind the scenes, not the mid-level managers like Obama, but people way above that. The demonic. And, you know, the other thing, too, that, I'll tell you what, I'm glad Gen 6 Productions, Earthing the Crosshairs, I cannot tell you how important that is, because the rift, or whatever you want to call it, it is prevalent. And the way I see it, and then I'm going to turn right back to you, but the way I see things is the child sacrifice that we see. And I've had the opportunity, and we've had Eric the Tech myself, and we've had the opportunity to work with Russ's crew, old crew, Shatter Ops, internationally, Save Them, and of course, Vets for Child Rescue. But it all comes down to the blood of the innocent, the blood of the children is really the currency of the globalists. And the portals, the rips, the demonic coming in here. It's that infanticide. It's that sacrifice of the unborn. Us exporting that. Us being told that's a good thing. To me, that really demonstrates the how can I put it? That demonstrates the demonic on earth. And I think we're seeing that in the people. And that directly relates to people wanting to believe the delusion. But go ahead. I don't know if I made sense, but
well,
all of this is
it's very, very important what you just said. The idea of child sacrifice, child cannibalism. There are reports that not only is it hugely popular amongst the elites and the globalists, but that it is increasing. Not only you got kids that have disappeared from Hawaii during that fire, but all over the earth. There's some report that came out like 6 months ago that said in 1 month, it was October. I guess it was October, just before October 31st. All these kids disappeared off the streets, and they don't know where they went in Ohio, right above me. But my point is that in order to open the gates, in order to open the demonic realm to this realm, is they need sacrifice. They need blood. You know, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And of course, the Jews used to sacrifice animals, and Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. But the globalists, the elites, they're cannibals, and this is this crazy thing. And it's probably not a week that goes by that I don't post an article that has to do with cannibalism. And the funny thing is, when I interviewed Steve for my book way back when, Midnight Strikes, and there it's about the 38 things that the Lord showed him. He said to me, I'm not writing more books. Steve, let me write a book. I'll interview him, because I knew that he had this conversation with the Lord. And I said, you need to get that information out. So that's what that book was about. It's about the 38 things that the Lord showed him. One of the things that the Lord showed him was, when you see cannibalism in the headlines, the Lord said, no, that the tribulation has started. The great tribulation has started. That's what he said. So my point is that you have the gates of hell that have literally opened, and you have cannibalism in the headlines. And you see this onslaught of evil that has, marched into our world, that has invaded our world. And people can sit back and go, I don't understand why all this has happened. That's why. Because we, not you and I, but we as humans have invited this activity here. I remember years ago, I was doing Blog Talk Radio, and I had a show on Blog Talk, and I invited Steve to be a guest on the show, and long before I worked with him. And the series was called Between the Veil, or The Ripping of the Veil, or something like that. And he said on that show, now keep in mind, this is probably about 12, 13, 14 years ago. He said, Daniel, this is 13, 14 years ago. He said, the veil is not ripped. It is torn in two. It's down. The supernatural is invading our space. Devils and demons are coming. That's easy. And he said that way back then. So when I look at what's going on in the world, you see all of this crazy stuff. Honestly, it doesn't make sense. People with common sense know if they're a man or a woman. Common sense. People with common sense know that, inflation is up. It doesn't matter, because it's all, as I said when we started, smoke and mirrors. And you used a little word, and I think that word is very, very important. You said you need to have discernment. You said you need to have discernment about what's going on right now. Folks, I'm not a preachy guy. I talk about the Lord a lot, but I'm not a preachy guy. I'm just telling you, if you don't know the Lord, you need to ask him into your heart right now. You need to ask the Holy Spirit into your life and ask him to give you discernment. Because as crazy as it is right now, it is about to get real crazy. So there's no more time to be messing around. The other issue that I wanted to talk to you about was the CrowdStrike fiasco that happened last Friday.
Oh, yes, please. We need more information about that. Yeah.
All right, so
By the way, while you're taking the drink, DanielHoldings.com, it's on the bottom of your screen, or was. DanielHoldings.com, that's where to go. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Folks, make sure you go there, bookmark that. Sign up for NotShaken.tv as well, bookmark that. And, hey, support this man. This guy is the engine behind a lot of projects. CrowdStrike, go ahead.
All right, so CrowdStrike, I used to be, when I was in the Air Force, I was a mainframe computer. It was the 80s, and you know, they had a squirrel in those computers going around on a wheel. That's what ran. It's a long time ago. So you know, computers have changed a lot. They're a lot more advanced. You know, your cell phone now has more power in it than those mainframes.
Yeah.
So, but I, you know, I was a little aware of code, right? So the story that we were given after computers all over the world went down, all over the world, was that there was a line of code in an update that caused the blue screen of death on Microsoft computers, and that's what happened. They said it wasn't a hack, and it wasn't a cyber attack. And I say, BS. I don't know any code that would take all the computers down, all the Microsoft computers down all over the world. I don't know of a code like that. Well, so when I was talking to Mike Adams last week, he blew my mind. He said, and I forget the guy's name, but he talked to somebody that was an expert in such things, and he said it was a package like a worm or a virus that was already pre-installed, and that they had them installed installed on Apple machines. They have it installed on not Unix, but Linux machines. Yeah. And the Apple machines and Microsoft machines, and all they did was activate the ones that were on Microsoft machines, because it was you got to hear me. It was a test to see how effective it would be. Now you think about all the crazy news, Doug, that we've had in the last week and a half, right? Donald Trump getting shot, you know, Joe Biden dropping out of the race, all this other stuff. That CrowdStrike event was the scariest thing to me, because I knew it was a test. It was just, it was a shot over the bow to see how effective it was. Now, the thing about CrowdStrike, to know who these people are, they are the same people that Hillary Clinton back in 2016 hired to check out the DNC hack, right? That threatened to, get Donald Trump into the office instead of her. And so she had them investigate that. That's where they are, the ones where the Russian collusion case came out of. They traced it back supposedly to Russia. And, you know, they found, you know, Donald Trump had been in contact or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. None of it was true. It was all a lie, right?
Yep.
My point is, it's the same company. And so now on Friday, they're a cybersecurity company, so I guess they're huge. You know, everybody uses their stuff. So, you know, all these computers went down. There's some of them are still down. Some people may not get their paychecks this month because of it. Delta Airlines, I know, yeah, as of yesterday, was still down. Some of them were still down. My point is that, one, that CrowdStrike was the same people that you couldn't trust in 2016. And my second point is that it was a test. It's going to happen again, but this time it's going to be on a much larger scale. I don't know if anybody died because of that.
I do know that some hospitals and pharmacies in the Midwest were affected. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, life support systems were taken offline.
Yeah.
And, you know, people die when that kind of thing happens. So I don't know if, that's why I said, I don't know if anybody died, but it was very serious. Now, imagine if they let go the package on the Apple machines and the Linux machines as well. It would have been really, really bad. I mean, it would have been really bad. There were power grids down as well. So my point is that I think it was a probing attack. Now, the funny thing is, here's the funny thing, right? All of the world was affected by this outage, right? Who wasn't affected? Russia?
Mm-hmm.
Russia because of the sanctions. Well, this is the story anyway. Russia, because of the sanctions, has made it a point to get off the world's internet and come up with their own intranet. So they're not connected like we are. The second point is they don't allow businesses and individuals in that country to use foreign cybersecurity software. So they have their own stuff, Karpovsky or something like that. But so they have their own stuff is my point. So they were unscathed. I find that very curious, considering, and I know that you would probably agree with this, all of the – somebody asked me, what do you think, Daniel, what do you think? When is World War III going to start? I think it's already started.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You see all this stuff happening just today. There's an article that came out just a few minutes ago that Russian drones hit Romania. And they were shooting for the Ukraine, but they went off course and hit Romania. Sorry!
Whoops.
Made a mistake. They blew something up, I don't know. But, you know, Ukraine supposedly hit. Yeah, Ukraine supposedly destroyed a couple of their the early warning nuclear radar, you know, two months ago or something like that. Two different systems to give a corridor for nuclear weapons. Why? Because they have hypersonic missiles that, you know, can reach them. U.S. or Washington, D.C. in 6 minutes, and we needed to be able to say to them, you know, well, we can hit you, too. Of course, it might take longer, but we can hit you. My point is that war started a long time ago. Is it too far of a stretch to think that maybe CrowdStrike was part of that war? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely. And so what you're saying is the development of, you know, World War III right before our eyes. And as a consequence, you know, okay, so there haven't been any bombs dropped on your head just yet. Folks, there's a lot more to war than just nuclear weapons, right? When you begin to attack the enemy, you have to take out their command and control. It's like the first thing on the list. That I think that was a test about how they could take out our command and control. But that happens Friday. And as I said, I think it's the scariest thing that has happened thus far with this news cycle last week and a half.
And it's by far, it's not getting enough coverage. And I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm guilty of this on this platform, not really addressing that issue enough. And, you know, in our preparations, we're going to need to prepare like it's 1850, you know, or 1950. Well, more appropriately, 1850. I think, well, as well, too, you know, you had mentioned about the elections. Are we even going to have elections? Well, it would be interesting if everything was connected to the internet. Of course, they deny it. What would really screw things up? Because we don't have same day in person, one vote, one person's ID, paper ballots. It's all electronic. Something like this certainly could mess up an election. So
it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that because guess what else went down beside all the other stuff that went down?
Oh, do tell.
Election machines.
No, voting you don't say.
Went down as a result of the CrowdStrike thing. So maybe the whole thing was a test for that. I don't know.
You know, but I didn't think they were connected to the internet. I thought that was just a fairy tale.
I don't know. You can't make this stuff. You know, that's what I always say these days. I'm a writer. I started out writing fiction. I couldn't even write this stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
And folks, by the way, a brilliant writer he is, DanielHoldings.com. Go to his website. NotShaken.tv, a good podcast broadcaster, however you would describe that. And a great, can I say filmmaker? Or film? I don't want to say scriptwriter, but hey, go to Gen6.com. Earth in the Crosshairs. I'm telling you, it's better than Steve describes it, okay? It really is good. Earth in the Crosshairs. Everything, really, Daniel Holdings does is a class act, and I mean that genuinely. And I'm so honored to have him on this episode. We only have about 6 minutes left, 5 minutes left. And I can't believe how time has gone with you. It just goes so fast. I think we might have gone through a portal, or at least I have. wow. But in the last few minutes, you got the floor. Anything you want to say, anything you want to promote, anything you want to talk out of school about, I'm ready to hear. Anything Steve said to you that
you told you to say?
I marvel at the kind of life I get to lead. I don't make a ton of money, but my friend Steve Whale has given me such an opportunity to be a writer and co-producer. You know, when I first, we were working together, and I said, Daniel, I need you to write the script for Mega Drive. I said, Steve, I've never heard of script before. I don't know how to do it. Yeah, you do. And he opened the door to do that. And now, four films later, you know, he's the one that started calling me a producer and writer producer. I was like, what? I never even thought of it like that. But, you know, and to do what I get to do, and more importantly, to minister to people. Because, look, folks, I know a lot of stuff. I scour the news. I'm a watchman. I do this. I do that. But in the end, none of that matters if the Lord isn't glorified in what I am doing. In order to take the truth, in order to give the truth to people, you have to give them hope at the same time. And that hope is Jesus. I don't want to sound preachy. I don't want to sound religious, but Jesus is the only reason I have my sanity. He gives me joy and he gives me peace that surpasses all understanding. And he can give you the same joy and peace. And I'm not talking about pussyfooting around and just wearing a badge and saying Christian, okay? In these days that are coming up, you're going to need that word that Doug used at the beginning. You're going to need discernment. The only way to get that discernment is with a personal, deep relationship with the Lord. So you got to ask him into your heart. There's just no other way about it. So with that, I'd like to thank my friend Steve Quayle, because Stephen, he abused you by introducing me to you. So, but look, folks, if you're praying, people pray for Steve, right? He's doing fine, but his leg hurts. It hurts. Yeah. And we want to see him back in the saddle and back to work. And frankly, I'm tired, so he needs to come back.
Yeah, so, give you a break. My goodness. Yeah.
Please pray for him.
Indeed, please do. And if I can use just a couple seconds of your time, folks, please also, Bob and Maggie, who are listeners and viewers of the show, the fire is out in California, the Park Fire right now. A lot of people have been displaced and homeless. A lot of lives are being lost as we speak. So pray for them, and pray for anyone in the path of fire, bad storms, and all of that. And certainly, I just want to mention that because, boy, what a mess. Daniel Holdings, DanielHoldings.com, NotShaken.tv, and, of course, the man behind a lot of the product on Gen6.com, Earth in the Crosshairs, the latest project. What a fantastic work. I mean, that to me should – what do they give, Emmys, Oscars? I mean, I don't know. No, for films – what do they get?
Well, I don't know. You know, the funny thing is Steve won't because he doesn't want to be told what to say. He gives a lot of those places won't let you talk about Jesus, so he refuses to put it out there like that.
We'll make our own Emmy or Oscar or whatever those things are called, the trophy.
We can get a Hagman. We can get there a Hagman. We'll put it
up. Yeah, get a bobblehead, my bob. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But Daniel, again, you know, we've covered a lot of ground here in this time we've had together. I really appreciate this. And again, folks, notshaken.tv, accessible via DanielHoldings.com. The links will be at HagmanPI.com. But I want to thank you for coming on. And it's been too long, and I have to have you back. Covered a lot of ground, a lot of good information. Appreciate you a lot. Really do.
Thank you, my friend. It's good to be with you. Thanks, Eric, in the background.
Eric the Tech is over there with a, you know, thumbs up, and he loves your work as well, as we all do. And folks, again, Daniel Holdings from DanielHoldings.com, NotShaken.tv, and Gen 6, of course, Gen 6.com, Earth in the Crosshairs. Daniel, I really appreciate you. I appreciate all you're doing, all you've done. Thanks for your words of wisdom today. And have a great weekend. And just take care of yourself and come back.
Thank you, my friend. All right. Good to be with you. Thanks.
That'll do it, folks. God bless you. God bless. And pray for our nation.